Jesus taught about our lives and about how we should live? Are we aligning ourselves with what Jesus taught? And so as we think about today's subject, stop running on empty, I think this is certainly apropos because I think Jesus, as he looks at his church, as he looks at his people, like, man, these people are, they are busy, they are stressed, they are full of anxiety because they are running. And many times we're finding ourselves running on empty. So we want to meet today the Jesus who balances, and we want to share some things today that I hope will be a help. If you want to follow along with us, either with the outline or if you want to catch up with our podcast, we've got an app for your phone that you can use, that you can download and check those things out. And we hope that will be a help and a blessing to you. So again, our message today is titled, Stop Running on Empty. I love this graphic. Two kinds of people in the world. I can drive 10 more miles or better get gas now. So I won't ask you which category you find yourself in. But I think for a lot of people, if not in a physical way, certainly in a mental, spiritual, emotional way, we find ourselves the person on the left. We find ourselves dipping close to empty, but we're still going as fast as we can. We know the damage that that can do for your car. We know that that's bad for your car. It's bad for your soul. It's bad for your spirit. It's bad for your Christian life to continually try to run when you're getting close to empty. And when we talk about this type of schedule and calendar and things of this nature, it's not always bad stuff. And we're not talking about, like, you got to stop doing all this bad stuff in your life. No, many times it's good stuff. I mean, there are good things that we're involved in, and that can also be something that trips us up, again, mentally, emotionally, physically, and even spiritually. Our family, we are in an extremely busy season right now. We've got lots going on with our son getting married a week from yesterday. So in 6 days, Joshua's going to get married. And where's Tracy at, my wife? And my wife, totally messed up her knee. So she's, like, in casts and crutches. And we've got all this work to do. We've got all this work to do at the house because we have, 30 people going to be staying at our house. We're looking for air mattresses, by the way. We have all these people staying in our house, probably about 20 people staying in our house. We got all this work we want to do at our house, and we're just like, we're going. And so, you know, please pray for us because it would be the ultimate irony for our marriage to end the week that we're celebrating the beginning of our son's marriage. So please pray for my wife and I that we survive the week before. And some of you have been there like, oh, I've been there, Pastor Greg, like, I understand. So pray for us this week, and seriously pray for Tracy that she'll, you'll be feeling better and hopefully can dance with her son at the wedding. That's the hope, for next weekend. But that's all good stuff. I mean, that's awesome stuff. That's exciting stuff. And it's like, it's killing me, you know, there's so much to do. So today we want to meet the Jesus who balances, the one who says these three words. And if you don't remember anything else today, all throughout the message, you're going to hear these three words. Take them with you today. Just hold them close to your heart. Come to me. Come to me. This invitation of Jesus to come to me. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, we read, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we think about burdens, there are lots of different types of burdens that people carry. We want to address some of those today and respond to them biblically. Hope it'll be a help and encouragement as you go back out into your week. Number one, the burden of guilt. Okay, the burden of guilt. A lot of us carry around the baggage from the past. You know, guilt from the past. You know, poor decisions, bad relationships, improper responses to circumstances that came our way. And we carry that around. We think about that. We fixate on that all the time. Like, you know, I wish I'd have done better. I wish I'd have chosen better. I wish I'd have responded better. The burden of guilt from the past. The burden of guilt from comparison. This is a big one, and I talk about this a lot, so I don't mean to sound repetitive, but I kind of mean to sound repetitive, because we live in this social media-saturated world where we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people based on what other people are doing on social media. I love this graphic, you know, this Pinterest. You know, all these moms are on Pinterest making their own soap and reindeer-shaped treats, and I'm all like, I took a shower and kept the kids alive. I love that. You know, what's the deal? Like, we're looking at all, and it's like, man, the perfect marriage, perfect family, perfect husband, perfect wife, perfect kids. Wrong. It's not that way at all. Sometimes we do this with our kids. You know, we get our firstborn child's, you know, son or daughter, and we do up their room, like, super, super nice, man. Like, it's all decorated out, super nice. We want to make sure they've got the best of everything. You know, child number two comes along. There's an air mattress, kid. You're good to go. Have at it. We do this comparison back and forth, back and forth. And this is a quote that I've shown often and probably will continue to do so from Steve Furtick. The reason we struggle with insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. Don't fall into that trap. Don't do it, because you will carry that burden of the guilt of comparison with other people. And the Bible makes it very clear that comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise to do that. So what do we need to do? What does Jesus want to do? He wants to transform that guilt into a goal. Transform that guilt into a goal. Take that from the past, take that from the present circumstance, and move it, transform it into a goal. Switch blame and shame into an aim, is how our friends down at Bayside have said it, okay? How do we do this? How do we do this? We read about that in Philippians chapter number 3. So will you turn there with me? Philippians chapter 3, page 1085, if you've got one of those adventure Bibles. I want to look at these two verses in Philippians chapter number 3, and hear what the Apostle Paul had to say on this very subject, okay? The burden of guilt. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. And I love that. You've got the Apostle Paul, super Christian, right? Super spiritual, wrote so much of the New Testament. We put him on a pinnacle, and he's like, look, I haven't even made it. I haven't arrived. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So let's unpack this process. How does God want to transform your guilt into a goal? Well, we see it here in Philippians chapter 3. First, there's focus. There's focus. This one thing I do. I'm doing this one thing. I mean, think about your day tomorrow. How amazing would it be to have just one thing to do tomorrow? It's my day off tomorrow. I've got like 8 things to do tomorrow. We're so full. He says, in spite of all those things, stay focused on one thing. What is that one thing? He says, forgetting. Forgetting. And that's where the guilt, you know, getting rid of the guilt, forgetting those things which are behind. And think about the Apostle Paul. Think about the things that he had to forget. Think about the things that he had to put behind him, put in his past, put in his rearview mirror, if you will. Think of the shame that he had to endure. He was a persecutor of Christians. A persecutor of Christians. I mean, he was a Christian. I mean, he's a Christian. He's a pastor. He's an evangelist. He's a teacher. He's God's instrument to spread the gospel. And yet in his past was a persecution of their very people that God had, that he had become a part of their family. Forgetting. Fortitude. I love this one. Straining forward. You know, there's this idea that sometimes the devil tries to feed us about, you know, it should just be easy. You know, we just need to coast along. No, friend, it can be a struggle. This transformation that Jesus wants to do in your life, it may not come easy. There's a straining that's involved. I've been sharing, you know, some of my workout experiences on Facebook and whatnot, and it's the very first time, you know, in my life that I've really worked on a regular basis with an actual trainer, you know, someone who's like actually standing there next to you as you're, you know, doing certain things. So it's one thing to go to the gym and, you know, get on the treadmill or do machines or do free weights or whatever the case. It's quite something else when there's someone standing right there going 16, 17, 18, 2 more, 19. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? I'm, you know, in myself, I'd be like, I'm done. But there's that straining forward that happens because there's someone there encouraging you to keep pressing forward. Amen. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's there encouraged. He's like, keep pressing forward. So some fortitude's involved. And then there's a future focus. There's this upward call, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Some translations give it, say, heavenward. You know, looking heavenward. And it just gives us this idea of, you know, there is a future that is coming. And the Apostle Paul was not afraid of the future. He was not scared of that day that when he was in heaven, he's going to see Jesus Christ for the first time. You know, the first time that he looks in the eyes of his Savior, Jesus Christ, he's not going to be filled with guilt over how he'd messed up, over how he had failed, over how he had fallen short, because he dealt with all that stuff. Think about you. Think about your life. If you were going to see Jesus tonight, would you be ready? Would you be ready? Or like, man, I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. The Apostle Paul took care of all that. And so his future focus was able to be used by God to transform the guilt that he had into a goal to keep pressing forward. Okay? So the burden of guilt. Number two, the burden of brokenness. The burden of brokenness. We're all broken. We're all broken. Some of us are broken into two or three pieces. Some of us are broken into 200 or 300 pieces. But every single person is broken. And what Jesus wants to do is he wants to transform that brokenness into beauty. Transform the brokenness into beauty. Jesus, in this context, in Matthew 11, he was addressing people who were dominated by Romans. Okay, they were being oppressed. They were dominated by Romans. And they were being manipulated by religion. Because that religious system was not there to embrace the coming of Jesus Christ. They were still embracing the old way, and they rejected Jesus Christ. So there was domination, and there was manipulation, and he wants to break us free from those things. Here's what oftentimes happens. We say, Jesus, I want you, you know, come to me, all you labor, and I will give you rest. We're like, Lord, carry my issues. Here's my issues. I want you to carry these things for me. And Jesus says, I don't want to carry your issues. I want to carry you. You're the issue. It's not your issue. See, here's how we act sometimes, okay? It's like we pull up in our car, and all of our stuff is in the trunk, and we kind of, you know, we throw it off to the side of the road for Jesus. Like, Jesus, take care of this stuff for me. And then we get back in the car, and we go on our day. That's oftentimes how we treat prayer. That's oftentimes how we treat the things that we struggle with. We drop them off with Jesus, and then we go on with our day. Jesus says, you get in the back seat, let me drive, I'm taking us. Okay? That's the analogy. He wants all of us, come to me, and I will give you rest. When we do this, he will begin to transform our brokenness into beauty. I want to read this for you in the Message, which is not technically a translation of the scripture, but it's great to read it in other versions that it'll just give you a sense, a different flavor for what's being said. So here's the message version of the same text, Matthew chapter 11. Look at it. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? I know a lot of people would say, yes, yes, yes. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Man, that's what I want. I want that in my life. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to transform that brokenness into beauty. God is in the business of transformation. Isn't that awesome? God is in the business of transformation. There is not anything broken in you that Jesus can't make beautiful. Nothing. Nothing. That's what he does. That's what he is in the business of doing. How many of you are familiar with the I Am Second stories? Any of you familiar with I Am Second? Okay, a few of you. Okay, great story. YouTube it later. There's actually a whole series and study and small group material. One of these days we're going to do it. It's on my list of things that I would love to do one day because the stories are so compelling and so amazing, and I brought one with me today to share. So a lot of them are pretty lengthy. This one's about 4 minutes long, So I felt it was appropriate to do it in service. How many remember Brant Hansen from Air One? Anybody remember Brant from Air One? Last Train to Awesome Town, man, I loved him on the radio. And he's got a podcast now. He calls it The Oddcast. He's a great guy. And he shares a bit of his story, a bit of his testimony as it relates to where he was, to the journey that God put him on, realizing that even in his brokenness, God could take it and make something beautiful out of it. Check out Brant's testimony here this morning. Amen? Amen? Wonderful testimony. And the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ is full of testimonies of people that Jesus has transformed brokenness into beauty. They're in this building this morning. And that's the business that God is in. He is in the business of transformation. We've said this before, it's not original with me. This is not a museum for saints, it is a hospital for sinners. That's what the church is. It's not a place to come and, you know, just put on our best and look good and look perfect and be, you know, no. It's a place where we come because we are broken, and we need worship, and we need the word, and we need fellowship. We need each other. Let's always be that kind of a place. Come to him with all your broken pieces because he can make them beautiful. Say, Pastor Greg, what is one of your passions for Adventure Church of Yuba City? It's that we would always be an authentic church. A church where you can come and be who you are with all of your broken pieces, because we believe in a God who can turn brokenness into beauty. Amen? Check out this quote from Sheila Wass. You may know her name, Women of Faith, and other organizations. My brokenness is a better bridge for people than my pretend wholeness ever was. Isn't that awesome? My brokenness is a better bridge than my pretend wholeness, because wholeness is always pretend. And the brokenness that we bring, God will use to minister and bless other people. Number three, the burden of busyness. The burden of busyness. Oh, so much busyness. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we're like this, Mary Poppins. We're ready to go. You know, we've got everything's in its place. Everything's good to go. Our schedule, our procedures, our transportation, everything is just sweetness and light. And by the end of the day, we're like this. Where did it all go wrong? Where did it all go wrong? I had everything planned out perfectly. Why? Because we are so incredibly busy. Jesus wants to transform our busyness into breathing. Transform our busyness into breathing. Let's look lastly here at Luke chapter number 10, our last scripture. Luke chapter number 10, page number 963, if you've got one of those adventure Bibles. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse number 38. The Bible says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Some of you are familiar with the whole Airbnb thing, you know, maybe you've done the Airbnb thing, maybe you've been a guest or a host or whatever. This was Jesus' heavenly B&B right here. Every time he came through, he would stop by Mary and Martha's because that's where he wanted to be, okay? Continue reading. It says, "And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing,'" notice that again, "'one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" So let's unpack the results. Okay, let's unpack the results of this, of what's going on here as it relates to busyness, and maybe you can identify with some of these. First thing you notice is that she becomes distracted. She becomes distracted. She's in the kitchen. She's busy. She's doing all this stuff. And the heavenly B&B turns into hell's kitchen. You know, it's like, it's craziness going on. Okay. So she becomes distracted. Her distraction leads to a disconnection. She's disconnected from Jesus. And again, she's doing something good. Okay, she's in the kitchen. She's not cooking meth in the kitchen. She's cooking breakfast. You know, it's not like she's doing some sordid evil something. She's doing something for Jesus. Like, that's a laudable, wonderful thing to do. But in the process of serving, she became distracted and disconnected and then discouraged. Lord, my sister, you know, she's not doing any. I'm doing all the work. She's not doing, you know, and I'm here to tell you, if you are discouraged, anytime you find yourself discouraged, I can almost guarantee you that one of those first two things are happening in your life. There's a distraction and there's a disconnection. It will always lead to discouragement. And then finally, you see some destructive behavior. She says, tell her then to help me. She like orders Jesus around. Isn't that interesting? Tell her what she needs to do. Hello, you're not the boss of Jesus. Jesus is the boss of you. But we do that sometimes, don't we? Jesus, just tell my husband, tell my wife, tell my kids, tell that person sitting here. They need, you know. That's where it leads, the burden of busyness. And it's not often, again, the bad things we do, but the multiplicity of good things. Listen to this. In an aim to overachieve, we become overambitious, overcomplicated, and clearly over the top based on our overconfidence. The result is we begin to overstretch our time, overcommit our calendars, overreach our abilities, overcook our meals, overdecorate our houses, and overfill our closets, overdramatize our details, leaving ourselves hugely overburdened, constantly over budget, continually overrun, remarkably over anxious, ultimately overwhelmed, and agonizingly over analyzing where it all went wrong. Anybody identify with that? Right on. Check this out. Check out this truth right here. God is never out of breath. God is never out of breath. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. And when He's the Omega, He's not, I'm so glad that's over. I'm so glad it's done. Kind of like I'm going to feel a week from today. I'm so glad it's over. No offense, Kelsey. I'm so glad it's over. Done. There is always enough time to do the will of God. There is always enough time to do the will of God. But Jesus transformed the burden of busyness into a breath, into breathing. Illustrate it this way. Let's eat, Grandma. Next statement, let's eat, Grandma. What's the lesson? Comma save lives. Comma save lives. All you grammar folks in the house. The first statement, Grandma is the meal. And the second statement, Grandma's going to enjoy the meal with you. And what's the difference? A comma, which is a pause. Some of us need to pause. I know we're busy. I know we got stuff. I know we got calendars. I know we got routines. I know we've got obligations. I know we got appointments. But Jesus is calling, and He's saying, come to me, and let me provide rest for your soul. Because we are so busy. Ray, in his book, Jesus Called, he wants his church back. He outlines three life-changing spiritual commitments to balance busyness. And we're just going to fly through these because of time. But they're unpacked more in the book. The first one, take worship seriously. Take worship seriously. And we're not just talking about church there. I mean, obviously, that's part of it. You know, the corporate worship gathering. It gives us that moment to pause and catch our breath and breathe, saying that we look forward to it at the end of a week, and something that prepares us for the week to come. You miss that rhythm, and you go 2 weeks and 3 weeks and 4 weeks, and you start to notice something different happening in your life. There's a reason for that, okay? But it's not just, it's in the everyday. It's what we talked about the very first week of our series. Create devotional space in your life. Create space in your life for devotion. Create opportunities whereby you can be worshiping God all the time, not just within these walls. Number two, recharge your spiritual batteries. I'm listening because he's speaking. I'm listening because he's speaking. Recharge. And thirdly, unleash the Bible into your life to study. I'm giving because I've received. Have you ever said something along the lines of, you know, I just can't give anymore. I just can't give anymore. You need to keep receiving. As you keep receiving, you can keep giving. And if you get to that place where you're running on empty, you need to refill. You need to recharge. Those are the things that are necessary. These three words, these three beautiful words from our Savior today. Come to me. Come to me. Every invitation demands a response. It's either yes, I'll be there, or no, I'm not going to be there. But it always demands a response. There's always a choice to be made. Let me give you a close with a Cubs illustration, okay? So game number six. So here's Bill Murray, and that's Karen, okay? And you may have heard about this story. We don't much like Karen, but here's Karen's story, okay? So Karen's from Indiana, and Karen traveled from Indiana to Cleveland to see if she could go to the game, and actually went to the box office to see if there were any tickets. Karen, come on. While she was there, Bill Murray walks by, and Bill Murray says, "Hey, I got an extra ticket. Do you want to go watch the game with me?" And here's the picture of them in the stands. And so she sat and watched game six with Bill Murray and a whole bunch of other celebrities. And she said yes to that invitation. I'm like, where was Bill Murray at game three? You know, I was there. I was by the media entrance. I was, you know, looking all, you know, desperate and pathetic. You know, like, someone give me a ticket. You know, let me in the game. No, Karen got in. You know, whatever. Not bitter at all. But that invitation demanded a response. She could have said, I'm good, Bill, really. I just kind of wanted to come and be a part of the experience and give that to somebody else. What did she say? Absolutely, yes. And now, you know, she's, you know, semi-famous, you know. She got to watch the game with Bill Murray. Every invitation you receive demands a response. Jesus is offering you an invitation today. Come to me. Your choices are to do that. Your other choice is just to go back out. Like this morning never happened. Like we never read these verses. You go back to your schedules. You go back to your calendars. You go back to your appointments. You go back to your routine. And you begin running on empty. And Jesus is like, I don't want you to live that way. Stop running on empty. Respond to his invitation today. Unload the burden of guilt. Watch him transform it into a goal. Unload the burden of brokenness. Watch him transform it into something beautiful. Unload the burden of busyness. Watch him transform it into breath. Let me read the verses one more time and then we'll close. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you for these moments we've had together. And Father, I just want to pray a blessing upon those who are carrying these burdens that we've talked about today. I pray, Father, that we would lay them at your feet and we would lay ourselves at your feet, that you would transform these burdens into things that will bless others. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts. And Lord, for those that are here, I'm sure that there are scores of people here today who can examine a message like this, receive a message like this, and know exactly what we're talking about, because they're carrying the guilt. They're carrying the pain. They're carrying the busyness. They're carrying all these things, Father. Help them, I pray, today to leave here having accepted the invitation from Jesus Christ when he says, come to me. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's the first Sunday of the month. So in these last minutes we have in the service this morning, we're going to receive communion today. And I just wanted to let you know, I sent this out in our email this week, that we're going to take a special, we always take a Compassion Fund offering after communion. But this Sunday it's going to be a special one, a special offering that's going to help kickstart an initiative that we want to do for the entire month of creating blessing bags for homeless and those who are in need as we approach the winter months. And so blankets, socks, toiletries, Bibles, food items, and if you want to contribute financially to get us started, that would be awesome. If you can't today and want to throughout the month, you can. We'll have actually a list published, we hope, next Sunday of things if you'd like to contribute. Like, I've got blankets or I've got this that could be added. You want to give in that way, we'll certainly make that available, make you know what's available in that regard, and to let you know how you can participate as we get closer toward the end of the month to put all this together. But friends, we want to be a church that's unleashing compassion into our community. We've said this before, we'll say it again. We don't want to be just about what's happening inside these walls. We've got to be about what's happening outside these walls. And so as we think about, you know, the needs coming up, we think about the weather changing, we think about those in our community in need, this is an area in which we can help and we can participate. And if you'd like to, we're going to take that offering right after communion. So just pray and ask God what he'd have you do today or in these coming weeks as we consider this opportunity. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper today. And the Bible says the body... He took the bread, he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The bread representing the body that was broken, the cup of juice representing the blood that was shed. And this just gives us that opportunity, gives us that pause. It's an intentional something that causes us just to slow down and remember what it's all about, and that's the cross. And if not for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, we would not be able to enjoy any of the things that we do in our Christian life. And so this is our time to have communion. Communion with God, communion with each other. And if you're here and you know Jesus as your Savior, you're welcome to participate with us. Please do. If you're here and for whatever reason you're uncomfortable, so have questions about faith and God, you want to let the tray pass to the next person, perfectly fine. No judgment here. If you have questions, if we can help you in any way, please don't hesitate to contact us and let us know. We want this to be a meaningful time for us together as we remember what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. So I'm going to pray, and then they're going to distribute to everybody, and then once everybody's been served, we'll all participate together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless this time of communion. Thank you for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. May it continue to be a reminder of the blessing that we enjoy because of his sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.